Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorimple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, chocolate biscuits, Salvation Army, and skiing. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound, and in a lovely festive cardigan.
It's beautiful.
Samton.
Ho, ho, hello.
And plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener, who's on her way for yet another flight, aren't you?
So yes.
We've got you, if we can get this wrapped up quite quickly, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. So I can go and get my flight.
Fifth flight in 3 weeks.
This is the third weekend away.
Yeah. So you're on flight, like, one of...
And my flight back from Dublin was cancelled, so I did get an extra day in Dublin.
Right, you may have noticed that Jess is not with us today. She is the latest victim of the lurgy that's currently sweeping the Isle of Man.
The pox.
We've had a few off this week, haven't we? Ill?
Yeah, I think so.
Katie, obviously not observing the rest of the staff.
I don't keep a register of who comes in and goes.
I thought you were a fire marshal.
No, I'm not. Oh. Don't come to me in case of a fire. I can't help.
Well, there has been. We'll take my word for it. There has been people off ill. Disco Dave's been ill. You might not have heard him coughing, ironically, this week, because he's not been in the building.
Yeah. No? Yeah, that's true, actually. It has been a cough-free.
But he's back today, coughing like a good one. But say Jess is off ill, which, you know, if she's listening, we send her our best regards. She has written a lovely story this week about Hanukkah. Did you see that in the, I think it was in the Independent this week.
It was in today's Independent, yes.
And did you, it was a good read, wasn't it?
It was a lovely read. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up? That many?
Yeah.
Where she went off to the Hanukkah celebration of the Alaman Jewish Society.
But yeah, it's a very good piece, actually. It's the most disappointing thing about Jess being ill, besides the unfortunates of her being ill, is that we didn't get to hear about this, because it's really good, and I was actually considering doing it with Jess not being here, but it doesn't actually work because she went to it.
Yeah.
So she has a lot more about what it was like and all that stuff.
Photographer Dave went as well, so there's lots of pictures from that in the indie this week. Katie, good week?
Fabulous week.
Fabulous?
Yeah,
two
lovely.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, just flew by.
What was your highlight?
Work-wise, how many people are still calling in to get the new vouchers?
Because of the price freeze.
It is, it's price freeze time. So, yep, £41.60 for 52 weeks of the papers.
And maths fans would like to know that's a saving of 27%.
Yeah, random number, but it's also my favourite number.
27?
27, the best number.
Favourite number, Sam?
Oh, that's a big question.
Mine favourite is 19.
It's a good number.
Probably 6.
Awful. Ooh, bad awful. Choice.
I like 6. But then 27 is the number of Divock Origi. So.
I do say it's an awful number, but I have got the number 6 tattooed behind my ear, so that was probably the wrong thing to say.
Oh my God, I've never noticed that. I don't know why I've been looking.
You're quite quick into manhandle that.
I was just checking.
Okay, apart from this obviously being a highlight of the week, Sam, good week?
Katie's got better than a Christmas bauble.
It's because you've just like...
It's not manhandling if it's...
Half consensual, though.
I mean, if it's on audio, you can't prove it. We could all just be giggling and making this up. There is no website.
So this week, apart from this absolute shambles, good week?
Yeah, it's been a good week, yeah. Lots happened.
You've worn... I've noticed the Christmas jumpers are in full flight at this point in time, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
I mean, I enjoy the cardigan, though. It's 3D as well.
It is. It's got some little balls.
It's also... Well, speak for yourself. It's also got, like, on the end of the scarves, it's got, like, a little bit of a tassel thing.
That's lovely.
And it's got very big pockets. I'm thinking of moving to the cardigan lifestyle because of this.
I think you should, if you do that, because regular listeners of the podcast might know you smoke, maybe with a pipe is the next move. And cardigan.
Yeah, I think with your landed gentry outfit and your new found love of cardigans, I definitely think the pipe is the future for you.
It would be, except from January 1st, of course, me and producer Emma aren't smoking anymore.
Oh, really?
That's a commitment which you've now all heard, viewers, so we have to stick to
it. Listeners.
Whatever.
People are watching, Sam.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Not just the doctors.
So, any new stories stand out for you? You've been doing a lot of work on planning and area plans and all sorts of stuff.
The area plan. I think I've written more about the area plan than what's in the area plan. but yeah, that's come out. That was a bit of a surprise. It dropped late last Friday with very, very little fanfare. Possibly because it's quite critical of many things suggested by the Cabinet Office, but there we go. So that's actually been doing loads on that, and then we had Douglas Council as well, and there was the prom reports that we got all of, and it's been a busy week.
He's gone through two of my highlighters this week.
Two?
He's highlight three of them now. He's highlighted so much.
I did hear you a conversation the other day where you said you weren't going to give him your good highlighters. Is that correct?
He got the second tier highlighters.
Yeah, do you know why the second tier? Because half of them were bone dry before I'd even started. Now, Bev, on the other hand, gave me a good highlighter. And she got hers back because she asked nicely, your orange one ran out. I threw it in the bin. She goes, I want my highlighter back. So it ran out. She goes,
but
well,
it
now,
looks good in the set. It has to complete the set.
That's a bit weird. So you wanted a highlighter that doesn't work because it looked symmetrical with the rest of the set.
Yeah, and they go in nice colour coordinated.
Do you have it in the rainbow order?
It's not like a rainbow, but they do blend the colours.
Wow, I don't think we should pick at this particular scab any longer. So, first story of the week. We're talking about biscuits, which is usually a topic of conversation on the Manx Football Podcast.
Yeah, well, I just thought that it's time that we branch out into something else.
Okay, so this was from the Average Household Spend Survey, was it?
Yes, so it goes out across down to 1,000 households. I think you get something for taking part, like £15 or something like that. Mm. And then they have a draw. Somebody randomly wins extra bit of money. So people reply to this, and it's what they buy in a week. So, you know, how much you spend on meat, how much you spend on crisps, how much you spend on juice, cereals, that sort of stuff. Of course, this is sort of stuff that when you look at it, it's changed down the years, because, of course, things like we were talking about with in an editorial where, like, tripe used to be on this list.
And who doesn't love a bit of tripe?
And, like, you know, butter was, because it was a lot more of a staple than it is now. So that used to be on there, and, like, quite prominently, and flour was a big stuff. So it shows the shift in
trends.
Yeah, so that's an interesting little development.
But it wasn't just food, isn't it? There's clothes and there's all sorts of stuff. What you do with your income, basically, isn't it?
Most of mine, I just invest it in a lovely chap called William.
Surname Hill.
That's the one.
Or many of the local charity shops do well out of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically...
For trinkets.
I think I'm essentially keeping a good number of the island's elderly population... out of the house.
I think busy. Just keeping them busy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ties, jumpers. I bought a suit in a charity shop not too long ago.
Obviously, novelty pirate mugs, which was one of our first podcasts this year.
Sam's No Mug.
So the interesting fact for me was that it says specifically chocolate biscuits.
Well, yeah, this was referred to as biscuits which are either semi or fully coated in chocolate.
Well, okay.
But does not include chocolate chips.
They include a Twix.
I think that would have been, yeah. I mean, let's not get into the row about whether it's a Twix as
well,
a biscuit. Or
we've talked about it at length on the Manx Football Podcast.
Yeah.
One finger, biscuit, two, chocolate bar.
Yeah, okay, I'd go with that, yeah.
Mini
chocolate.
I mean, you said it so convincingly as well.
I've thought about it a lot, Katie, I'm not going to lie. Mm. So that's one of the headline facts from this week's income survey.
Yeah, so what I do like about that is the chocolate chip biscuits are treated separately. So they're in a separate thing with crisps. And I don't know why.
With crisps?
Yeah, there's like...
miscellaneous.
It seems to be. Yeah, it's like other foods and stuff like that. But yeah, they're separate.
Sundries.
They're separate from that. But then there's weird things in it. Like, you know, the average person spends 88p on lamb and stuff like that. I was like,
80? Where'd you get lamb for 88p?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's from that car park butcher, isn't it?
Is it from my van?
You know, it was like £1.62 on beef. And I was like, who is spending this? What?
£1.62? There is some cheap cuts going around.
Yeah. We're going to the wrong butcher.
So what's the most... What was the headline, like, the most expensive thing we spend money on? Was it fuel, or...?
I think it was fuel, yeah, it was the one. And then there's, like... Food-wise, it was beef, but in terms of everything, I think it was fuel was the one we spend most on. But it was the 82p biscuits that really caught Adrian's eye, and I think he went for the headline, Crumbs.
So if people want to read more about that, what paper was in this week?
It was in The Independent.
So you can, of course, get that online at iamtoday.co.im and then click on the Digital Editions tab, which was well discussed as my third favourite tab on our website. Or, we're still in the shops, aren't they, Katie? People
of course, want... yeah, they can go in until, depending on what time the shop closes, you've got until Wednesday evening to
loads
get in and get your Manx Independent.
Go on and find out about people's average spend on a biscuit. Good story, that one, Sam. Moving on, now it is Christmas time, as indicated by your festive wear. I hope you're wearing something like, Christmas party tomorrow, are you?
No, it's got in because I've got a suit for it. But the suit is going to make an appearance next week in work.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
What day?
Well, I'm only in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so it'll be Friday.
Okay.
Are you in next week, Katie?
Yes,
a full week. Well done.
No, I'm back on Tuesday, but then my holidays for 2019 end.
And 20.
They'll resume again in January.
Oh, we'll look forward to finding out about them. But yeah, it's Christmas time. So the next story is about the Salvation Army. And this is quite a shocking stat, really. They expect more than 400 requests for presents this Christmas.
Yeah, there's two sides to this, really, is that, first of all, it shows, I mean, you know, we had the food bank in the paper last week, we've got Salvation Army in this week, and there's the people who do the Christmas Day lunch for people in Braddon, people who don't have anywhere else to go, a lot of that food's donated. So it does show how many people donate to good chores on the island, so that's really good when you look at that side. But on the other side of this, you've got Salvation Army, it's Lieutenant Rachel at the Salvation Army. Mm. She said last year was 428 gifts given out to children, and this year we're looking at about, they've had more than 400 requests around about that area now. And I just look at it and go, how on earth does that happen?
So these gifts, I'm presuming they're giving to children that otherwise wouldn't get one, or?
Yeah, it tends to be lower income families. And I think this actually isn't just, I'm not sure if this is just children, or whether it's people in terms of, you know, other people as well who don't get much around Christmas time or something like lonely people and that sort of stuff. But I think there's various different people get this, but I just don't see how this happens, to be honest. And I actually it was one of these stories, it was a Jess story, and I was reading it, I was getting really angry about reading it. That's why my notes had may turn into a rant, because I'm just looking at it going, we're like in the top 10 world's richest nations, aren't we?
Yeah,
like how the unmentionables, does that happen? Where you've got a charity is having to provide that many presents. It's like the food bank. How are they having to provide 120 parcels of food for people? We're a rich society and we've got people having to basically put the begging bowl out for Christmas. It's pathetic, but that's where we are as a society and we should be doing better for ourselves.
But positive, people are rallying around
that it. That is a positive, yeah. The Manx population is so generous and they do back these charities, especially this time of year. Really, really positive. So that's the one saving grace in all this, is that you have to look at, because we've got to remember, this is, you know, fair enough, there are businesses in this, but this is the average person in the street going, I'm going to buy that extra present, I'm going to donate it into this. And I know the Salvation Army, you can buy stuff and take it into the Isle of Man Bank, that's where they collect them from. The food bank, you can take them into the police stations, community centres, schools, take to the food bank yourself there as well.
If you want to read more about that, what paper was that in this week?
That was in the Indy.
Indy as well.
As well, yeah. I mean, for saying that, there's a lot of good stuff in the Examiner as well this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were both out of the Indy this week, them stories.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story, we've talked about it, it's getting cold, but you wouldn't associate snow sport necessarily with the children of the Isle of Man, yet there is one 13-year-old, Tom Darnell, who goes to Balcombe School, is trying to make his way in ski cross. Now, Katie, you look like someone that watches Ski Sunday.
I love Ski Sunday.
So you will know there's various disciplines of skiing, isn't there?
Yes.
Yes. So give me a couple.
Slalom.
Slalom, boom.
The Eddie the Eagle jump thing.
Yes.
What's that
ski
called?
Jump.
Ski jump. Ski jump.
I think you're overthinking this. You're looking a bit nervous. It's not pointless.
Like a cross-country-esque ski?
Yes, that's another one. So Tom does ski cross, which is essentially skiing crossed with BMX, but on skis.
So, on the wheels, there are skis?
So, no. I may have misled you there. There is no frame. He is in skis, but it's like a BMX track.
Oh, okay.
So, there's little jumps and such like that.
Like half pipes?
No, because that's a different one again. That's a half, you know, where they have to do tricks and stuff like that. So, it's almost like, if you can imagine the track up at Nobles Park, BMX track up there. Imagine that in snow, and you have to go around in a circuit.
I need to watch more Ski Sunday.
Yeah, we'll come back after you've done that. But yes, just Tom is aiming to be the next Manx sport kingpin, really. Because do you remember Zoe Gillings?
Yes, the snowboarder.
Yes, she has been to the Winter Olympics 4 times, despite being sort of held back by the fact she was from Ronag, which is not renowned for its snow. And she's appeared at the most Winter Olympics of any British athlete, I think, or is joint at this point. But yes, Tom is at the moment preparing for his winter season. I think he's going to Switzerland, and he's just done the British Championships, which... We're in Switzerland, because we don't get any snow in Britain. It was a story in the Examiner this week profiling him and how he's got into the sport.
How did he get into the sport?
I just think he had a holiday, thought, I'm quite like this. But he keeps fit by playing rugby, which, you know, not often you hear. Oh, how do you keep fit for your skiing? Oh, I'll go and play rugby.
There's two things about this. First of all, what's the skiing event called that's crossed with shooting?
It's biathlon.
That's very entertaining.
Yeah, where they have to take long shots to then get back on the skis and that's good.
That's very good. And secondly, have you seen where the Paris Olympics surfboarding is going to be in 2024?
No,
Tahiti.
How does that's a long way away. They're going to struggle to get back for the closing
ceremony.
About
10,000 miles away.
Wowzers!
But that, so they have to arrive, walk around with their flags, get over to Tahiti.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a French colony. So, but as when you said about the British Championships taking place in Switzerland, that's their plan. For 2024 is to go all the way to Tahiti.
To be fair, Tour de France most year doesn't actually start in France.
No, I'm starting in Yorkshire.
But if you want to hear more about Tom's experiences and what he's up to at the moment, please do look at the Examiner in the final whistle section, which is the sports section in the Examiner every week. 8 pages of brilliance penned by myself, Watty and Dave. But yeah, this story with Tom is good, so please look at that if you get a chance. Right, time to jet back in the DeLorean, which we keep in the Isle of Man newspaper's car park, to the Isle of Man Examiner of Friday, 14th of December, 1956, for this week in history. It's a very busy front page, Samuel.
Yeah, which to go for to start off? Well, first of all, I think what I have noticed that stuck out right in the middle of it is your last chance to win a Christmas hamper, which if you look at the Examiner this week, of course, and the event, we still do these Christmas competitions, so some things never change.
But the prize has got bigger.
They have got indeed bigger. You can go camping this week, can't you? Was that last week?
That's part of it, yeah. You can go camping. Glamping.
Glamping, sorry, yeah. It's tenting, but with a shed.
Tenting with a shed.
It's shedding.
I think you might be simplifying it a little bit there, Sam, but yeah.
Anyway, so there's two stories on the front that stuck out. First was the Ireland buys the MER, which is the Manx Electric Railway. It was nationalised, which if you think back to this year, of course, we had the nationalisation of the steam packet.
Correct.
So we've had, I suppose the wheel turns, but there we go. That was a weird one, because basically it was just in a bit of a mess financially. And they said, we probably have to keep this. And so they bought it, nationalised it, and as we all know, it's still running to this day. So.
Kate, how much would you pay for the MER? Imagine it was a monopoly. Square. A rectangle.
I have no concept of money and electric railways.
Obviously, because you're away all the time. Because you have no money.
But I would take this question very seriously, Andy. I wouldn't just dismiss it with a quick answer.
Or you could just read the story in front of us.
I can't, because it's really small and faded.
It's not really small and faded.
£50,000 is the right answer.
Yeah, they were paying...
No, you asked me how much I would
pay. So they paid £50,000. Yeah. Sam, do you think that was value for money? Looking back now? Do you think they've got their £50,000 back?
Yeah, probably, haven't they? I mean, they probably spent a lot more than that down the years because they make a loss anyway, but the railways make a loss, but they're there as a tourist attraction these days, so... Yeah, I think it was one of them that they were going to have to do, wasn't it? Interestingly, you have Navision, Mr. J.C. Navision, who, of course, is famous in Manx political history, and you go back, but there's a comment here...
Niverson,
yeah, I can never pronounce his name. Navision. Always don't know why.
Has a stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Onken.
The
home of the mighty O's and of course stock car racing.
Yeah.
Got me with the stock car racing.
The alternate end to I think Jerry Maguire. You had me at the stock car.
So he'd said about how he would support the continuation of the railway, but he didn't want to nationalise it, and he also didn't want to nationalise the steam railway, which of course happened as well. It's interesting, actually, because this is sort of like 56, this is the back end of the Manx tourism boom, really, and things have started to change. So it's interesting how like the island reacted to that. So it's an interesting piece of history, really. But I think the main story on the front is the import ban on turkeys.
Yes, which was obviously very topical at Christmas. So they were trying to protect Manx producers, weren't they?
Yes.
And the price they would get for their turkeys by putting a temporary ban on turkeys coming in from... either Ireland or England or Scotland, wasn't it? Wales.
Yeah, it was quite weird, really, because it's like the whole thing was, at the time, I mean, we still have bread and milk control, don't we, on prices over here?
I couldn't tell you.
For locally produced things, so we still, there's still that element, but of course back then it was a lot more regular for governments to regulate how much meat was worth by the pound and that sort of stuff, so this perhaps wasn't completely unusual, but it's just that the only way they thought they could save Manx turkeys was to ban the import of others, so...
I also thought it was quite funny, though, they said if they found there were not enough birds in the island to meet the demand, the importation restriction could be removed at short notice.
Yeah, I think Bernard was probably sat at Liverpool Docks.
With a van full of turkeys ready to roll. Yeah, I can imagine that as well.
Bernard Matthews.
As opposed to Bernard Manning.
That would be very, a very, very different sort of person.
A couple of other stories that caught my eye. The first one was about... Do you see the police changes? Which I think it was all about promotions within the police, and it was just essentially just printing what rank they'd been promoted to.
What station they're moving to.
Yeah,
which I thought was quite nice. And then, did you see the question on Marine Drive over here?
Which one's this?
So I found this. It's just the wording of this story. So, fulfilling a promise made to the unemployed, Mr. Edward Callister asked in Timwell on Wednesday, was it possible that work might start on the Marine Drive scheme? The Lieutenant Governor replied that he could not possibly say that the scheme was under consideration by the local government board and would subsequently come before Timwald. Now, two things about that was Mr. Edward Callister, who was obviously an MHK, the unemployed, he'd spoken on behalf of a lot of people, and then it was the Lieutenant Governor who responded. So who was
well, yeah, I mean, that's back before you had the council ministers. They were the Executive Council, I think they were called. I'm going to be sure if I've got that wrong. Right. But yeah, so that was back, of course, when he was the position was a lot more prominent, and they sat in Timwald as chair of the government. You know, it was the island, to all in effect, was a colony.
Yeah,
a lot more than it is any state now. But it was ruled by the appointment of the Queen. So, but yeah, I think actually my granddad worked on that. You know,
on the Marine Drive.
Yeah, because my dad.
Is this the one that was famous? Yeah, the robbing
light bulbs
from
never robbed it. He was handling it.
And he never snitched.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He was...
Snitches get stitches, exactly. Katie.
Well, because I know he worked as an electrician for Douglas Council, so it was that. He worked on
Was that after he left the packet under a cloud?
And also did the Conister Rock.
Right.
Laid the electric cable out to that.
Oh, right.
Which they did in the winter.
Oh.
Which is an achievement, really.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because high tide's always usually about springtime. Low tide's springtime.
Yeah, well, it was built, sort of thing. It wasn't just buried, so they did that out there.
Before we move on to Katie and we ask you your favourite advert from the week, did you see this? And obviously it's quite a serious story, but again, it's just the way it's worded about the cyclist that was injured. Motorcyclist, sorry. Cyril Graham Oates, 46, a married man of Ballymona. That's obviously key to this story, that he's married. Mm. It was taken to Knowles Hospital in the ambulance yesterday morning following an accident on Peel Road. Riding a motorcycle, he collided with a tree which had been blown down by the storm overnight, and part of which had been protruding over a hedge near Glenlock. He received head injuries. And I just thought, like, it's the detail. He went in an ambulance. Like, that today that would just be taken as red, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was protruding over a hedge, which, again, was quite interesting.
Well, you do. We did one a while ago, which was about TT crashes. And it was like, we sent a reporter to the hospital.
Yeah.
And they just walked through and they were chatting to the wife about how the rider was.
Yeah.
And he's just like... It's a
total change now, isn't it?
It is, really, yeah. Because, you know, we couldn't...
And you see the doorstepping that's gone on in the election this week, I said, you know, where people are shoving phones and stuff in potential prime minister's faces. It's a totally different ballgame to now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean... It's quite weird, actually, because Elections UK, they all sort of revert back to what it used to be like. They just stop following them around and shouting things at them.
Prison rules. Mm. Right, Kay, which advert's caught your eye this week?
I like that it's only 8 shopping days to Christmas, and to take advantage of the huge stocks now on hand of gifts that are a pleasure to give and receive.
Generic gifts.
Yeah, but then they're very
That's what
you've got your nylon hosiery, then you've got your aprons and your overalls.
Did you see the gifts for gentlemen, which could actually just describe Sam's current wardrobe, really, couldn't it? Dressing gowns, ties, pullovers, cardigans, shirts, socks, braces, etc.
Never seen Sam in braces.
I bet you have a pair, don't you?
I don't, actually.
Do you, like, well, you need to get you some, and you can, like, walk around with your thumbs underneath them, like, yeah.
God get me, I'm part of the union. Will actually happen. I liked the welly advert in the top right hand corner.
I did see that. But to be fair, when you were asking about the Manx Electric Railway, I was too busy reading that. That's why I wasn't
introducing
the price.
The Landmark and the Royal Scot, men's heavy Wellingtons, heavy duty Wellingtons, of outstanding quality by Dunlop or North British. Extra tough moulded soles, tempered flexible rubber, deep cleats, sponge insoles, rot resistant. Sock and heel counter. I'm sold.
Got it all.
So that was Lindsay's of Quine Corners. 53 What was that in old money? I can't work it out.
This seems like Lindsay's of Quine's Corner seems like the only place to get your Wellingtons back in the 50s.
Yeah. Before we move on, the final thing from the Alemann Examiner front page from 1956 to the 14th of December that year, the best advert ever.
Oh, the wallpapers.
Just says.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
Four wallpapers, and it's a white square with a dot in.
Yep.
Because everything else is so busy on this page, your eyes immediately get drawn there to that dot.
Do we think this is amazing marketing?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, because you literally do just get drawn into that.
Ahead of its time.
Oh, totally ahead of its time.
Well, there you go. That was R.E. Cowell & Co. Limited. Ahead of its time doesn't exist anymore.
Of course, the Sefton's still on the front page.
Oh, of course. That's Katie's favourite, isn't it? It goes without saying.
I get really upset when it's not there.
Yeah.
It's like one of my highlighters missing.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Manx Word of the Week. Katie, last week we had Partan.
Yeah, but it's with more rolled R's.
Partan.
Yeah, like that.
Partan. Like Spartan.
Yes.
Sparta.
Now, last week you said you didn't know why you picked it. Or was that something
else?
Yeah,
no, I don't. Well,
I do know you picked it because it was the theme of one of our podcasts the other week, wasn't it?
Is that where I got it from? From Harry the Velvet Fiddler Crab?
Yes.
Because Partan means crab.
Yes, there you go. Does it make sense now? No, it wasn't just a complete randomness.
It was just delayed by a few weeks.
There you go, yeah. Keep people guessing. So this week, this one's seasonal.
Yeah, and good luck pronouncing this.
Yeah, because even your phonetic spelling, which is meant to give us a bit of an indication of where we're meant to go with this, looks even more confusing than the actual spelling.
I've listened to this word 100 times this morning, and that made sense to me this morning when I was writing out the phonetics, but it makes no sense to me now.
Enguraya.
I think that does sound like the audio from Culture Vanin.
Enguraya.
I think Sam was closer.
Okay, of course he is. Bavarian. So we'll hear how the Culture Vanin lads say it now.
Enguraya.
So that was a seasonal greeting, that, Katie.
It is seasonal.
We'll find out next week what that means. It's not our Christmas special next week. It's the week after our Christmas special. But next week is just a bog standard, wouldn't bother listening podcast next week, isn't it? With absolutely no reference to Christmas apart from this Manx Word of the Week.
Yes.
I'm getting the thumbs up from producer Emma.
Yeah, that must be the plan.
Yeah, I've totally sold that, haven't I? Really do listen to our non-seasonal special next week. but because we want to sort of hoard these, our Anglo-Manx phrases have been cut back this week.
Exactly, because we can't put too many in because we've only got 26 letters to work our way
and we're already on H-I.
I, we were on the I's.
So, but you have got something, a tidbit for us, haven't you?
I have. So I was thinking of just winter Christmas related goodness, and I was on the Culture Vanin website and I was looking at some Manx traditions, and I found like my favourite Manx tradition, which doesn't happen anymore.
Okay.
Probably with reason, but I think it'd be right up Sam Street. And when I sent it to producer Emma, she was like, oh, I could see Sam doing this.
Okay. All right. Tell us a bit more then.
So they were basically called Mollog Bands.
Okay.
And it was groups of young lads.
Lads.
And they would basically dress up and dance and sing and make musical instruments and walk around towns making their noise. Mm. Then they got the name Mollog because that was usually a sheep's bladder, which they would put on the end of a stick and would hit people with it to give them money to make them go away.
So hang on. Basically, they were hitting people with a pig's bladder?
Pig's bladder, sometimes sheep's bladder.
Till they gave them money to go away?
Yes, but it does sound
and
a lot less violent.
People say and McDonald's are the scourge of our, you know, look at how bad that the Alemann in 2019
really,
is.
Really, they haven't changed, because for pig's bladder you just change milkshake.
Yeah. Wowzers. When was this?
But it was not like a... I don't think we're beating people into like a bloody pulp, taking
with
their
the
money.
Spider.
Exactly. It's more like if they were dancing, singing down the street and you'd left your house unlocked, they'd come in and you'd give them some coins to leave your house.
Sorry.
Or your shop.
Hang on. So they beat you and then if that wasn't good enough, they enter the premises while you're not... Oh, you haven't invited them in and then sort of just be like a house invasion.
The lads are here.
Lads are here. Give us some money or we'll hit you with our pig bladder.
On a stick.
On a stick. That's the only reason we're going to leave the house. Otherwise, we take the telly.
I mean, I don't think they would rob people at the same time. I mean, I think they just wanted their coins.
From what I get of this, right, there's basically gangs of youth
yeah.
roaming the streets, armed
singing
with
and
sticks,
dancing.
Singing and dancing.
So, sorry, that, is that to justify this robbery? That they're singing and dancing? It's fine.
It's got a jaunty feel to it.
So it's like Andrew Lloyd Webber producing a mugging.
Essentially.
Yeah. So, it is like Oliver, but with more sheep's bladders.
So I think really this proves that we need to praise the work done by Chief Constable Gary Robinson and his officers.
True, yeah.
That we don't have this sort of stuff going on.
Is there any sort of time frame on this?
I think it was... It was quite a while ago, and from... Because on the Culture Van...
2004.
On the Culture Van and website, there's a really good video of them recreating a Molag band. So it is fun, but they don't beat anyone with sheep's bladders in this. It's more about the dressing up, the going out singing and dancing and the revelry. But the idea is, yeah, like it, with all Christmas traditions, some things do get out of hand, like Black Eye Friday.
Some things get out of hand. It was the year the lads had a bit too much to drink. They took their three-piece sweet. They took everything they had. The poor old dear didn't have any change.
One of them
all their white's goods gone.
One of them hit the vicar and it was a whole sheep that he hit him with.
Right, okay. So do you think Grace would put this on our social media?
Yeah, I mean, my notes on the video were like, looks like they're having a right laugh. I didn't get in. Like, now describing it, I didn't get that much of an antisocial vibe about it.
Yeah, definitely be Asbo'd if you did that. Is Asbo still a thing?
I don't know. I think they changed them, didn't they?
Don't they just tag people, or was that always the Asbo?
No, Asbos were like...
Wasn't that just like a certificate, you've been naughty?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow.
It was like the opposite of getting a teacher's award at school, like.
It's like a demerit.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was Molag Bands.
Yeah, you can find out more information on that at culturevanin.im.
And we'll share the link to that on our social media. Yeah. If you want to revive a tradition of mugging and house invasion, please do.
Good-natured.
In our name.
Good-natured.
GTA Andreas.
Yeah.
Well, in the video, they actually go into, I think it's the Mitre Hotel.
Yeah.
And you just see people drinking in the bar as all these people come in dressed up singing We Are the Molag Band.
They're shaking down pubs as well.
they would walk into any open.
This reminds
premises.
Me of the riots in the summer of 2000 and whatever in
London.
Yeah, and all over the place. You know, people putting trolleys through the window. Oh, it's all right, I've got a sheep's bladder, it's perfectly acceptable.
On a stick,
wow.
Inflated.
So that's Molag Bands. Are we going to have a Christmas tradition next week, or are we going to go back to Anglo Manx or what?
I'll see what I like best, to be honest.
Oh, well, I'll keep people listening. Right, right, before we go, much coming up next week, Katie?
Yep, when I get back from Vienna, it's going to be all subscriptions all the time. And,
yes,
very exciting, it's my favourite Manx Independent of the year.
Wow, that's big chat.
Because it's Little Stars.
So that's our supplement with featuring nativity pictures from
across
the Isle of Man.
Exactly, so primary school's nativity plays.
There's some surprises as well, isn't there? Because, like, you know, you have a couple of aliens turned up at one of them.
Some of them, it's interesting to know what the nativity or play they were putting on was.
There was, I've seen one with an alien, one with an elephant, and there was something else turned up in another one, which was quite bizarre. There was a lobster.
Well, at Annika Primary School, we did a nativity which was called the Golden Goose, and there was nothing festive about that in the slightest. I played a Spice Girl, and there were some footballers in it. And
right, go on. No, hold on. Which one?
Baby Spice.
I can see that, actually.
And the main character was a golden goose.
Right. Well, on that bombshell, so if you want to find out who's playing the Spice Girl, Baby Spice, was it?
Yeah.
In the Golden Goose, please do buy next week's Manx Independent, with all the nativity pictures in. Sam, you got much coming up this week?
Coming up this week, I'm actually off away to Friday. Yeah.
Yep.
Going to see Danny Dyer and Sharon Osbourne in Nativity.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Who plays the Baby Spice in that one?
I don't know. Maybe Danny Dyer.
Okay.
Or Danny Dyer.
Both
Danny Dyers are in it.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Danny Dyers.
Danny Dyer Squared. Albert Squared.
What about work-wise?
That was quite good, actually.
Yeah, that was quick.
work-wise, so I've got to finish this and go write some stuff. There is the response to the front page of the Indy, where we said about the cracking and the prom, which has gone all the way down to the base of the concrete. Douglas Council have said that if they were putting the lights on the prom, they'd be at the palace by now.
Right.
Big talk.
Big chat. That is big chat.
And there'll be bits and pieces from, of course, the area plan, which I actually had a gentleman come in this afternoon and say that he was really grateful that we'd done so much work on it.
Well, what you say, you basically Johnny area plan there. So that was, we're at least in area plan at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you getting excited about the others?
Well, the south is already done. Right. The beautiful south has already been taken care of.
Yeah.
But we're going for the north and the west as the next one.
Oh.
Which stretch was from?
Is it clubbed together?
Yeah. Ooh, it's like
controversial.
Dalby up to Ramsey and down to Mackled, and in fact up to a point of Ayr. So it's that whole. So it's about like a half the island is being done under one plan. Which is just going to be brilliant because this one's gone so smoothly.
We're going to have to get you a special pack of highlighters.
I've told Richard I'm taking over his office for that one. It's going to be like military plans. I'm going to have different maps.
You're having to take it over because you don't know many places in the north or west of the island, do you?
It's when we have to get the giant map out.
Yeah, step into it.
Yeah, right. Like Joey and Friends.
Yeah. So that's all to look forward to next week's Salaman Examiner. When's the area plan kick off for that new year now?
Well, yeah, that'll be in the new year. It'll go. Essentially, we didn't know this was going to happen. We didn't know it was coming. It's quite weird. But the Inspector Michael Hurley, his suggestions have been brought out. That will then go to the Cabinet Office, who can make their own changes to it, although I wouldn't recommend they change much of it because it's been gone over that in detail. They can make changes to it, and then it'll end up before Tynwald. I think the plan was for July Tynwald, so just before the summer recess, which I think is very clever timing to have it, really, because it'll cool down a lot over the summer if it doesn't happen. Or if it does happen, I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. I'll put a bet on now that it gets rejected. I reckon it'll be rejected by Tynwald.
So that's the second bold bet I've heard this week
is
around
that
the
on
office.
William Hill?
Yeah, I'll give him a ring.
£2, that'll be rejected. There's also £2 wagering around that producer Emma is throttling around at the moment that it's going to snow on Saturday.
She's checked every weather forecast going.
Only the ones that say it's going to snow. There's several that don't. And then there's, of course, the Manx Met Office, which, as we've discussed, they tend to say that it's going
cover
to
all bases.
Cover all bases in there. The producer Emma's wagging her finger. I forgot she was a secret fan of the Meteorological Service at Runnels Way.
They are very good.
Very upbeat.
One of them is always right.
Right, before we go, as we've been alluding to, we are doing recording a Christmas special, which I think is going to be absolutely horrendous. Because
it features alcohol.
It may feature alcohol, eggnog and mulled wine.
And espresso martinis.
Oh, because they're traditionally drunk at Christmas, aren't they? That's going to be let out. We're going to record it, and it's going to be out on Boxing Day and New Year's Day.
Yes.
So you will still get your Alamo Newspapers podcast film fill over the festive period. Next week will be our last normal podcast.
Of the year.
Yeah, it's very exciting. That'll be recorded at sort of the same time next week. So tune in for that. You two hopefully be back. Jess will hopefully be back as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But apparently she's going to come in on Friday because it's the Christmas party for the staff.
Of course, yeah.
Which ain't no party because me and Kate are there.
Exactly.
Ain't no party without Sam.
And Kate.
Okay. Doesn't quite work as well as ain't no party, ain't like, no an party like an S club party.
SK party.
SK.
That's my dad's initials. Sorry.
Fun fact. Right, if you want to get in touch throughout the week, we did have some lovely reviews on Twitter this week. Please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter and let us know what you're doing for Christmas, if you're going to listen to our festive special and so on and such like. Until next week.
Bye for now.